On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use for the week of March 2nd, 2024. I'm your host, Tumanchi, and I'm happy you could join us for another episode of The Hangar Bay. I hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful week in the virtual skies. I've had a relatively quiet week, all things considered. I started off pretty nicely with a mission with the We Run Liberation crew for DCS, flying the F-18. But as the week went along, I really haven't been back in the cockpit that much. That said, we do have a lot of news to cover this week, so let's get things started, as we always do, with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Kicking things off this week, we have the Flight Simulation Association, which announced that their Flight Sim Expo has a new home in Vegas. The dates remain the same, June 21st through the 23rd of this year. However, the new home will be the Rio Las Vegas. Open Hornet, the community-developed F-18C home cockpit, announced its first beta release this week, 0.2.0. IL-2 Sturmovik announced a new Collector's Edition plane coming to the game. It's going to be the Focke Wulf TA-152. Heat Blur announced, or I should say released, the second in their series of pre-release F-4E Phantom videos earlier this week, detailing the aircraft's flight model. Eagle Dynamics announced new details regarding their in-progress changes to the payload settings window, including the in-mission rearm and refueling pop-up for DCS. Verpal announced bundles for sale on their website, including as well as the addition of a new product to their control panel lineup. And finally, is the T-38 mod coming to DCS? Well, it sure looks like it, as the team at Vico Simulations appears to be working on a T-38A mod coming up in the latter half of 2024. So let's dig into all of these news pieces and more, starting with the developer news segment.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
So kicking things off in developer news, we'll start like we always tend to do, with the old aircraft first, starting off with the World War II and IL-2 in particular. IL-2 devs, in their recent dev blog number 358, announced the Focke Wulf TA-152 would be the new collector plane that's currently in development. Now, if you're like me, I didn't know anything about the TA-152 until this piece of news came out from the IL-2 devs. But it appears the TA-152 is one of the last German aircraft designed and developed that took part in combat operations during World War II. Essentially, it's an evolution of the Focke Wulf 190D Dora, so it's got improvements regarding high-altitude combat. So essentially, as a lot of those late-stage bombers from the Allies were coming online, particularly the B-29, the Germans were looking to get ahead of that with their own high-altitude interceptor. So this aircraft, the TA-152, comes equipped with one centerline 30mm cannon and two 20mm cannons in the wing roots. It sounds like this aircraft, from what I could read online, went into production at the end of the war and appeared over the skies in Germany in January and February of 1945. Appears that less than 100 were ever produced, so this will be a little bit more on the rare side in terms of aircraft that we see in the series. That said, from a development standpoint, artists have been at work for this for a while engineers are just getting started on the flight model, and the developers appear to be aiming for a release date for this aircraft sometime later this summer. So I've got a few pictures here my show notes, and for those of you who are new to the show, you can always follow along with the show notes on a video format. You can find the show on Spotify or on my YouTube page at Stumanji on YouTube. You can always find the Hangar Bay show notes video done there as well, or on the website for the show at www.thehangarbaypod.com. That said, if you're looking for a little bit more information on this aircraft, Shamrock from the Stormbirds blog, who we've mentioned on the show before, wrote a really interesting article earlier today titled, "What exactly is this aircraft useful for? Who is the target audience for this aircraft?" He went on to touch on a variety of issues that I thought were very interesting, and I don't want to spoil that, so you should go check him out again at stormbirds.blog. But he did touch on the fact that, you know, IL-2 devs appear to be transitioning away from the World War II setting toward the next-gen sim. So in that regard, this aircraft kind of appears to be filling in the gaps for, you know, in one way or shape or form to continue making money off this game while also touching on some of the more advanced aircraft that really we don't know a lot about but push the boundaries of what we're capable in this time period. So it appeals to some of those what-if flyers, if you will, people interested in kind of some of the aircraft that were really coming online at the end of the war, had a lot of potential. Either way, for me, it's an aircraft I didn't know a lot about, so I'll be interested in seeing it. What aims to be seen if I'll actually purchase this aircraft or not, but I'm always a fan of new aircraft and whichever flight sims we fly. So if those are you interested in this, give it a check out. Check out Stormer's blog, learn a little bit more about it, and we should probably be seeing it later this summer. Shifting to the more modern time frame, we got Heepor with our DCS F4E Phantom 2 Episode 2. A video they released to YouTube earlier this week where they discuss in more detail the flight model we can expect for this aircraft. You know, Heepor have been saying it since they've really started hyping up the F4E in recent weeks, but if you're looking for a challenging aircraft, I think the F4E appears like it's really going to deliver it. So this episode, as I mentioned, is all about the flight sim, or I should say the flight model, what you can expect. The one interesting discussion I found was about how they really have spent a lot of time developing the force feedback system of this aircraft. So if you have any HOTAS equipment, gear around force feedback, it sounds like this aircraft is really going to deliver on that front. You know, as a VP Force Rhino owner, my joystick base of choice, I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, that's something I really hope we can see as the life of this aircraft starts to take shape in DCS and we see it developed over the months and years to come. Hopefully that's one area where hardware manufacturers will also start to deliver as well. We can have more improved flight force feedback equipment in the genre. You know, the VP Force, given its price tag, is very niche. So hopefully we can see other developers get on board with that and really kind of leverage what we see developers like Heepor doing in that regard. That said, it looks like it's going to be a really wonderful aircraft. There's a lot of complexity to this flight model. If you pre-ordered the F4E already, be sure to give this video a watch from Heepor on their YouTube page. And then perhaps if you're on the fence, this will be something that will convince you that it's an aircraft worth picking up once it's fully released, hopefully sooner rather than later. I still keep hoping we can see that sometime before this summer. That said, let's jump back to the World War II side of the house. Team Fusion this week provided an update on several of the aircraft that are coming out for their IL-2 Fortresses and Focke-Wulfs DLC coming for IL-2 Cliffs of Dover Blitz. So this is mainly geared toward the screenshot front, but again, touching back to Shamrock, credit to him on the Stormbirds blog who brought all of these details to light for me earlier this week. He made note of several screenshots that were released earlier this week detailing some of the progress Team Fusion is making. First and foremost on that front was their work in progress B-17. So they released some screenshots of some of the interior components and the wireframe imagery of this aircraft. For those of you who don't know, this upcoming expansion for IL-2 Cliffs of Dover Blitz is going to be mainly focused on clashes over the English Channel in the French and English countrysides of 1941 and 1942. But one of the main highlights, for me at least, is the inclusion of the B-17 Flying Fortress as a flyable aircraft. So getting a chance to take a look at some of this imagery is very exciting. I don't know how many people out there are also interested in flying some of the multi-engine bombers. It's just an aspect of some military flight simulation that I feel like is a little bit underdeveloped right now. So anything that can touch in that or allow us to fly some of these aircraft that we don't see a lot of in other flight sims is something that it's pretty exciting for me. So the B-17 is an aircraft I'm really, really looking forward to getting my hands on. That said, they also tease some imagery of the Focke-Wulf FW-190, but what's interesting about this is just seeing the damage modeling they're doing on this aircraft. So they include a portion of the wing with some screenshots there of what that damage modeling looks like. And finally, they had some composite image of the Typhoon Mark 1B, and the Typhoon seems to be the most developed of all the aircraft they're going to release for this upcoming expansion, as we can see some screenshots of that aircraft in engine. That said, looks like the progress is being made on this DLC pack, and they're still aiming for their estimated release date of the latter half of 2024. So hopefully we'll be seeing that before the year is up. Shifting back to DCS, as I mentioned in the flyby, in their weekly update this week, the Eagle Dynamics crew detailed the improved Mission Editor Payload Settings window. So for those of you who like to edit your own missions, or if you're like me, I just want some improved in-mission rearm and refueling pop-ups, Eagle Dynamics is working to address some of those functionality, specifically some of the changes they're looking to introduce to the weapons pop-up and the payload settings window in the mission editor include things such as fuse settings, laser code, cluster bomb settings, and then some unique 3D fuse modeling. So they've even included some bomb casing differences between United States Air Force and United States Navy weaponry. So looks like they're going all out when it comes to some of these changes you can see in the windows. And then finally, they even include some airburst heights for munitions with radio altimeters. I think if you cast your mind back, if you're a DCS fan, they've already introduced some of these changes when it comes to the older World War II aircraft with their fuse bomb settings. So it looks like we'll see some of that functionality replicated for the more modern aircraft, but also see that in-game as well with the rearm and refueling pop-up. So other than that, it was kind of a light news week on the DCS weekly update front, but that was the one that really stood out to me as far as interesting news are concerned. So that wraps things up for the developer news. Let's shift things over to the hardware news side of the house now.
Flight controls.
So as I mentioned in the flyby, Verpal announced some new bundles. So they said that they've heard several requests from the community about bundling some hardware together. You know, you're looking to get your HOTAS adventure started with maybe not just a joystick and a base, but you'd want to have a throttle as well. Well, they said they're hoping that some of these bundles that they created will solve some of those issues for you. So they're currently starting things off with three different bundles. And what they've debuted so far is Bundle 1 is the Warbird D base with the Alpha Grip and the CM3 throttle. Then Bundle 2 would be the CM3 throttle, Alpha Grip, and CM3 base, but then also includes some mounts. And then finally, they have what appears to be something more aimed at more of the space sim crowd. So they got two mounts, but then two bases, and then a left and right Alpha Grip. So more of a HOSAS versus a HOTAS. Either way, I think what's compelling about this is if you purchase one of these bundles, it's 15% off the individual item prices. So while one of these bundles might not directly appeal to you, I think this is an interesting thing that Verpal is introducing here. We don't really see bundles as something that a lot of the current manufacturers are offering in terms of the flight sim hardware. So VKB doesn't really do something like this. Verpal up till now hadn't done something like this. I guess you could argue Winwing is the closest. They tend to do something like this with some of their throttle and joystick basic grips combinations. So maybe Verpal is kind of following in their footsteps, if you will. Either way, go give the website a check out. If you've been on the fence about picking up some HOTAS gear from Verpal, this might be exactly the nudge you need to get things started. That said, also on the Verpal front this week, they announced a universal control panel. So when I originally saw this news, I gotta admit, I was pretty excited. I'm always a fan of new hardware in the community. But it turns out, I wouldn't say this is necessarily a new piece of hardware, as it is just a rebranding, if you will, of one of their existing control panels. So essentially what they did was take their Sharka 50 control panel and genericize it, if you will, make it more applicable to a larger set of the flight sim community that maybe doesn't own the Sharka 50 but's looking to purchase something that has a combination of axes, toggle switches, and momentary push buttons. So the biggest changes are essentially they removed the printing on the front of the control plate and made it more generic in nature, so removed some of that KA-50 specific nomenclature on the control plate and replaced it with more generic text labeling. And then they replaced the 7 on-off toggle switches with what appears from their website description to be 7 momentary on-off-on toggle switches. And then in addition to that, they lowered the price by $10 on the US store and 10 euros on the EU store. So that brings the price down to $290 on the US store and 250 euros on the EU store. So all told, I guess if you've been on the fence about a control panel and you wanted something similar to the Sharka, but you were concerned that it was too hyper-specific to maybe that aircraft, this could appeal to you. I'll be honest, the Sharka control panel is always something that I've been personally interested in. I've been leaning toward more of the Axis devices offered by VKB. But, you know, now with the inclusion of the momentary switches, which is something I tend to prefer in my cockpit, as opposed to latching switches, this might be something I'm interested in. If you're on kind of in a similar boat, be sure to check over on the Verpal website and see if it's something you might be interested in as well. Finally, the final hardware update I have this week is tentatively more of a virtual hardware notification, or I should say update, not notification, but that's Helios. So Helios announced a release of their update. They're now on 1.6.607. They released that to their GitHub page earlier this week. If you're not familiar with Helios, you're asking, what the heck is this guy talking about? Helios is essentially a piece of software that allows for the creation of virtual cockpits that function with either DCS or BMS. So I've got a video on my YouTube channel several years back that kind of highlights what Helios is actually capable of. But essentially, this is designed for a separate monitor. So you want either another normal monitor in your cockpit setup, a second monitor, if you will, or ideally, in my opinion, a touchscreen monitor. You can also work this in with your iPad, but I haven't really gone down that route in terms of tablets are concerned. I think this is ideally focused on a second monitor. But essentially, it's software that allows you to replicate button and cockpit switchology, if you will, make that term up, and replicate some in real time feedback. So you could see instruments, switch positions, even MFD exports. All of that can be handled through Helios. So as you see things change in your cockpit in game, you can see that reflected on the monitor, your second monitor. So personally, this is a piece of software I haven't been able to fly without in DCS for years now. It's been an essential part of my SimPit setup. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in, be sure to give it a check out. I've got links in the blog notes to the Helios Virtual Cockpit GitHub page, and also included some links to some pre-made profiles for you, which exist for several aircraft already built by community members, especially the prolific Captain Zine. That's over at CaptainZine.com, CaptainZen.com. Also, while we're talking about Helios, I want to give a shout out to the development leaders, Wheelchalk and Bluefin Bama in particular, with updates from other folks in the community who are contributing to the latest update, Shafto62 and Yusagion. I apologize if I got that last name wrong. The latest update brings some updates to bug fixes to aircraft such as the Apache, the Viggen, the F-15E, and the A-10C. It also brings some new functionality to Falcon BMS. And also bring some updates to the display lines for the F-15 ODU and significant changes to the AGS-37 Viggen. So again, if you're kind of interested in the Helios, hop on over to my YouTube page. That's at Stu Manji. And there's tons of other people on YouTube who've already made some videos about Helios. So you can kind of get a feel for what the product offers to you. And then if you're interested, go check out what the software entails. In the weeks to come, I'm hoping to kind of get back into making some more YouTube videos about all flight sim related hardware, but Helios in particular. I just got done earlier this week making a little, turning a 13-inch monitor into a backdrop for some of my Thrustmaster MFDs. So I feel like that'd be a great jumping on point to teach some more people about the power of Helios and how it can help you in your SimPit setup at home. So. Anyway, kind of short on hardware news, but we do have a lot of community news coming your way, so let's get things started over on that front.
Really not tracking what they're doing exactly.
So community news is where we cover the latest goings-on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. And starting us off this week, we got the Flight Sim Expo 2024, which I'm so happy to announce has a new home. So this news broke just before last week's show wrapped. So I just missed getting into last week's show, but earlier this week, the folks at the Flight Simulation Association, who I've mentioned in previous episodes, have been working incredibly hard after finding out the Tropicana Hotel would be closing earlier this year, which is where they intended to have the Flight Simulation Exposition for 2024. They found a new home, which will be at the Rio in Las Vegas. The best news of all, though, is that original dates will not shift. So if you already had tickets or you are already interested in attending, the dates will not shift, only the venue will shift. So those dates will be June 21st through the 23rd in Las Vegas. The Rio, as the Flight Simulation Association announced, is offering comparable room rates. In fact, it might be even slightly cheaper than the Tropicana. And attendees who book using their link on the Flight Simulator Association website will enjoy $25 credit per room toward food and beverage at the venue. So if you're on the fence about attending, I from what I saw last year when I watched virtually, it looks like a great, great time out there. Lots of wonderful folks putting together a great coverage of all things flight simulation. They've been doing more each and every year to encompass the flight the military flight simulation community. And I hope 2024 is their best year yet in terms of that coverage. I know last year they had participation from vendors such as SimFab, Thrustmaster, Verpal were all in attendance. Hopefully we'll continue to see those hardware manufacturers participate, as well as other individuals who are interested in talking about military flight simulations and covering that aspect of the genre as well. So got a link to the Flight Sim Association's Flight Sim Expo webpage, as well as to their news post covering some of that material in case you'd like to learn more on the show notes. All right, shifting things over more into SimPit's setup, I guess if you will, is Open Hornet. They announced their beta release of 0.2.0, in which they termed the sky's the limit. Now, this is the first public beta release of Open Hornet. So if you haven't been familiar with Open Hornet or been following it, essentially, this is some wonderful folks in the community who have meticulously crafted a one-to-one replica of the F-18C Lot 20 Hornet cockpit. Now, when I say they've meticulously crafted it, they have done everything you could possibly imagine to seamlessly integrate the cockpit with the DCS variant of the F-18C, including by leveraging things such as DCS BIOS, which we've touched on before, but essentially allow you to create a hardware replica in your basement, in a spare room, through a combination of 3D printing, woodworking, and electronics to build a full cockpit replica of the F-18C. So now, needless to say, this is not a project that you want to attempt unless you understand that it's a substantial endeavor for people who are skilled makers or seasoned builders. So if you're looking for, you know, a pretty generic cockpit, I still encourage the likes of Next Level Racing or SimFab or Monster Tech. Those vendors will get you covered. But if you want to make an F-18C cockpit, that's what you've always dreamed about, Open Hornet might be just what you're looking for. So they've got three main components of development, which is the mechanical fabrication, which includes a combination, as I mentioned, of wood structures, acrylic panels, 3D printing. Then they have the electrical assembly, which involves building or having PCBs constructed, then wiring all these components and fabricating cable harnesses, and then finally making this all work with the power of Arduinos and ESP32 microcontrollers. So needless to say, you don't have to do all this on your own. They've set you up from the start. They give you instructions on how to do each and every one of these steps, but it's a lot of work. But if you're like me and you're interested in maybe pulling off a onesies and twosies from this project, what I'm most interested in is kind of leveraging some of their 3D printing designs, use those for my own cockpit. You know, there might be only one element of this you're interested in, and that's what's kind of cool about a community project like this. It's all open source, so you can find it on their website. I've got links to the GitHub page in the show notes, as well as a link to the Open Hornet page itself. So it's an incredible project. These community members have put in a ton of work over the past few years, so it's really exciting to see some of their hard work come to fruition in the form of their first release. Looking forward to covering this project as it continues to grow, and I wish the team over at Open Hornet all the best as they continue along from beta release to full release, which will, I'm sure, be their plan down the road. Okay, so leveraging off the DCS front, let's switch over to the T-38 mod that I teased in the flyby. Yeah, so this came as a huge surprise to me. I wasn't really tracking this or the organization that's responsible for it. And this piece of news comes to us from Reddit, which is the Virtual Turkish Stars. They mentioned they're using a more realistic NF-5 module. So they were flying an F-5 module for their air demonstration, their virtual air demonstration needs in DCS. But they said that served them well up to this point. However, now it's time to take for the next step in their evolution of aircraft they're using, which will be a more realistic, dynamic, and enjoyable experience. And they're announcing that as part of that, they are going to have an upcoming full fidelity T-38. Yeah, that's right. The team is developing a T-38 module to release to the DCS community. And they went on to state that they plan to move to the more modernized version later on, or at least that's their intentions, which would be the T-38C or T-38M variants. The team's currently aiming for a 2024 release of the T-38A, and if you're interested in following along with this progress, you can follow them at Veco Simulations. That's V-E-C-O Simulations on Instagram. I got a link to the show notes in the show notes to their Instagram account. But I think what's most interesting about this is how we've already seen a really wonderful public module in terms of the A4 for DCS. We saw that with the C-130, which appears to be transitioning to a paid full fidelity module. But it just really goes to show you the power of the community with DCS, the quality of aircraft they're making. We saw the T-45 as well. I think another trainer module is a great addition. Again, as I mentioned earlier with IL-2, the more aircraft, the better, especially when they're free, right? So keep an eye out on this one. That's the T-38 mod from Veco Simulations. And then finally in the community news this week, I should say I'm skipping ahead. We got two pieces of news left. So the second to last one is Red Kite. So I'm sure many of you of all the DCS community are already aware of Red Kite. He's got a wonderful YouTube page, produces some fantastic content over there. But what I wanted to highlight this week, which I thought might be interesting to some of you, was his Case 3 mod simple tutorial. So he's all about how to make Case 3 operations more simple around the carrier. So if you're looking to fly in and around the carrier at night or in IMC conditions, you know, fog, low cloud levels, his video is all about helping you get the timings right, flying the pattern, avoiding collisions, nailing your communications. It's a great roughly 20-minute video over there on his YouTube page. Be sure to check it out. That's Red Kite, and you can find him on youtube.com at Red Kite Render. So Red Kite, thanks for all you do for the community. This is a great tutorial. Check it out. And then finally, the last piece of news, sorry, I almost skipped this one, was our old friend Sidekick. So that's Ian Christie, aka Sidekick. I featured him in previous episodes, and I'm sure we'll continue to do into the future. He released a DCS A10A Iron Bomb tutorial. So this is perfect timing. It almost feels like it's in honor of the Flaming Cliffs 3 refresh we talked about last week. So Ian's back with a very timely tutorial this week. Teach you all about how to drop iron bombs in the A10A Warthog. The other piece of interesting news is from Sidekick, is he is also going to start contributing articles to the Fly and Wire website. So I got a link to in the show notes to the Fly and Wire website, which we again talked about in a previous episode as well. He talks about how some of his articles over there will be geared more toward the history of airborne ground attack and how we got to where we are today. But I imagine in the coming weeks, he'll also have a heavy dose of the upcoming F-40 Phantom. So if you'd like to learn a little bit more about ground attack in general and some of the history of ground attack from an air combat perspective, hop on over to Fly and Wire. Sidekick will be posting over there in addition to his wonderful YouTube tutorials, which you can find on youtube.com at Sidekick65. So thank you, Ian, for continuing to do all you do for the community. So that wraps up the community news. So let's shift over to the user files portion. So the user content of the week, sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. This week, we are going to indeed focus on a user file. So we got a DCS search and rescue mission file. So, you know, as I continue to mention, I'm a Hilo Bubba. I always love what the Rotary folks are doing. This one jumped out to me when I saw it on Hoggett over on Reddit this week. It sounds like the Wolfpack US 01.4 Search and Rescue DCS server is hosting a search and rescue mission developed by CFRAG over on the DCS user files page. So CFRAG generated a couple interesting missions called the Angels of Levant, which is on the Syria map, and the Angels of the Caucasus, as the name would apply, over on the Caucasus map. Essentially what these are is single and multiplayer missions, which can be conducted by our Hilo Bubba friends, specifically rescue missions using the Hind, the Huey, the Hip, and the Gazelle. You can also fly these missions with the Ka-50 and the H-64 as an escort, but these are mainly rescue missions designed around the transport folks. So what this mission offers is 16 total aircraft, so 4 slots per aircraft, so 2 hot starts, 2 cold starts for each of the Hind, Huey, Hip, and Gazelle. There's also 2 additional aircraft spots for the KA-50 or the AH-64. You can fly these in single or multiplayer. And what this mission file allows you to do is unlimited rescue missions across multiple areas on these maps. So think dynamic missions, dynamic airfield scenery. It will record your accomplishments, so persistent accomplishments across these missions. And then finally, introduction to some civilian air traffic, both fixed and rotary. Reading up a little bit more about this on the DCS user files page, I also saw that you can add the UH-60 module if you guys fly that mod for DCS. It's a relatively simple fix to add that in there. So if you're interested, go check out the links in the show notes to this on the DCS user files page. Again, that's called the Angels of the Levant or Angels of the Caucasus mission on DCS user files. And it'll be run by the Wolfpack US server if you look for them on your multiplayer server listing in DCS. I also want to give a special shout out to CFRAG this week, who's got a great section of user files. I mean, what this guy has put together over on the DCS user files page is incredible. I just picked out a couple that I want to highlight beyond his Hilo missions. The first of that, which is the Marianas Universal Proving Grounds. So I might have mentioned this in previous shows about I'm a huge fan of these sandbox style missions where you can fire up a map, fire up a mission, and you have all the aircraft modules you might own already on there. And then you just take off and you can do any training missions, fire it up in game. It's just great, right? Do whatever you're feeling like that night without having to kind of fire up a very specific mission. And that's what this is. It's a universal, one-stop, non-stop training mission for DCS. Any aircraft, any mission type you're looking for, it's got it. And again, this is multiplayer and single-player capable. He also, for DCS, created a TAC and trainer mission, which I thought was actually pretty useful for those of you who like to have a little bit more of that realistic flight element of the game. Maybe you're looking to replicate some interesting navigational functionality of the game. So if this mission is applicable to any TACAN-equipped aircraft in-game, which, as the name kind of implies, it's designed to sharpen your TACAN skills with random-generated TACAN approaches. So it's going to assume you actually know a little bit about TACAN navigation. It's not really designed to teach you about it, even though, you know, the title is trainer. It's more kind of honing in skills that you already have, vice building you up from square one. So if you've already got a little background, give this a try. It'll kind of grade you on your TACAN passes and tell you how well you're doing. And then finally, one of the more intriguing files he has on there is it's called Stopgap. And essentially what this does is turn any player aircraft that isn't currently populated by a player into a visible aircraft on the flight line. So if you're like me, you hop into one of these sandbox missions, sometimes that flight line can seem pretty barren, right? All the aircraft are designated for player spots, but you can only occupy one of them at any given time. Well, what this script does is essentially populate any of those player eligible planes with static aircraft if you don't select them. So I hop in, there's 16 eligible player aircraft in the flight line. I'm only in one of them. Boom. Those other 15 will populate with static aircraft. It just goes a little bit toward adding a little bit of life to the mission, adding a little bit of, you know, making you feel like you're part of a larger world. So now they won't taxi, they won't go anywhere, but it does fill in a little bit of that emptiness in some of these missions. So anyway, that's CFRAG. I've got a link to his overall user files page on the DCS website, and then a link to some of these missions in particular. So thanks, CFRAG, for all you've done for the community. Wolfpack, thank you for highlighting this really interesting combination of missions. So with that concluded for the week, let's shift over to the SimPit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream of flames or smoke coming out, do you?
So the SimPit Spotlight is where we usually highlight a community member's personal SimPit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joy of flying from home. And unfortunately, I didn't actually find a SimPit Spotlight this week. So I'm actually going to combine this with the listener feedback portion of the show and just make a call to arms, if you will, to encourage you, if you have any pieces of news or a SimPit you would like to have spotlighted in a show, please get in contact with the show. You can reach me via email at feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. You can listen or send me a voice message on Spotify. So if you find the podcast homepage on Spotify, you can listen or, again, send me a voice message over there. Or finally, you can contact me on a variety of social media platforms. You can always follow the show on Instagram at The Hangar Bay Pod, on Twitter at The Hangar Bay Pod, or find the show on YouTube at youtube.com/StuMangi/podcast. And finally, the show is also on Facebook. So facebook.com/HangarBayPod. So I always love to hear what you guys would like to have featured on the show. This show is always about the community. So the more the community engages with the show, the more I'm excited to cover all aspects that I might have missed during my research during the week, whether it's a news segment or, as I mentioned, the Sim Pit Spotlight. So that leads us into the end of the show for this week. Thank you so much for sticking with the show. I hope you've had a great time listening to all the news we've covered this week. We'll be back next Saturday, as we always do here, to get you squared away with all the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. But until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Right here. Let's go down low, out of deck. Unload 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at The Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at The Hangar Bay Pod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.